Where did you get the idea? Like, how did you learn about operating costs and stuff like that?
Dude, just by doing it.
Like, yeah?
And my business partner and I, we have one thing that I think is in common with us is that when we decide we're doing something, we just go for it. Like, regardless of whether or not we know what we're doing, you know? And that was the case with the rent. I had no idea. I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I started renting cars.
Yeah.
I also didn't expect it to, like, kind of pop off the way that it did. So, like, we're not where we want to be yet, but we're a lot farther along than I thought we would be.
Yeah.
So we just trial and error the whole thing, dude. Yeah. Lots of error.
Right, dude?
You know?
No, I think the funniest story, Ethan, that I've ever had in the car business was, so we had a guy working at Nissan, mm-hmm. young kid, and he was just slinging cars. He was probably selling like 20, 25 a month. And when you're selling 20, 25 a month at a decent dealership, you're making $8,000, $10,000 a month. And so he just high rolling, lived with his mom, wasn't doing anything.
Oh, good. He's living in Germany. He got no bills.
And so he goes and buys this certified pre-owned AMG 63 coupe Benz.
Oh, just, of course, right.
Just a freaking flagship car. And so we get there and he brings it to everybody. We're all like, oh, that's so cool. But in my mind, and in some of the older sales guys' minds, like, we know what that is, dude. So it had the yellow pinstripes uh-huh. down the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it had the custom pinstripes on the wheels.
Oh, yeah.
And the low profile tires and stuff. Yeah. I was like, bro, did you get the wheel and tire package? And he goes, no, dude, everybody knows that's bullshit. And I was like, not on that, dude. I was like, that wheel and tire, one wheel and one tire together, probably $4,000,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, for real.
He was like, no way. I was like, yeah, but you got the oil change package. He's like, no, I told him it was bullshit. I was like, are you? We just laughed at him when we were like, good luck, dude.
Yeah, dude. Depending on the car, sometimes you just got to go for it. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, like, well, if you're buying something high end, like.
Yeah, and that's what we told him. We were like, dude, yeah, if you bought a Nissan. If you bought a Nissan Sentra, sure, dude, the wheel and tire package and the oil change package is bullshit.
Sure.
But you just bought a $120,000 car.
Right. Well, yeah, dude, that's the thing, right? And like in my case, like I don't have to worry. Like I've got the
sure,
shop and
sure.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'll so you're like, it. I'm like, no, just, yeah. Like don't even try to pitch that to me. I'll tell them up front. Like,
I've
got a shop and I got this rental car company. Do not try to pitch any of that shit to me because I won't take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the Supra, for whatever reason, it was the
exception. Supra.
Like, I'll just take it.
Those higher end ones, even in Toyota, like the Supra,
right?
Or like the Civic Type R or something like
sure,
that. Like,
yeah.
It's like, dude, it's just at that point, it's like prepaid insurance.
Right. Like, exactly. Like, and especially for us in the rental business, like I know somebody's going to curb the wheels, right? Like I know somebody's
going to, what happened?
The Supra got totaled.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, like, are you serious?
I don't even have it anymore.
How long did you have the Supra before?
That one made it a year. So that was actually pretty good for us.
So what happened? So having a car for a year is good?
Well, in that case, in the sports car.
Yeah, in the sports car. Yeah. What do you mean? So people just rally it?
Well, dude, we had one that lasted like 3 weeks. We had an Audi TTRS. It had temporary tags on it still.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And so you put it out on the road, you let them rent it. What the hell do they do, dude?
Dude, people go nuts in them. Like the Supra was different because it wasn't like the guy who was driving the car ended up not being at fault. So our renter wasn't at fault, but he was hauling ass when he, you know what I mean?
Like, you're like, it wasn't your fault, dog, but you were going 90, homie.
He got T-boned, but he was driving fast, dude. So he was going fast. This other guy didn't see him because he was hauling and he got T-boned. And dude, I'm not even kidding you. It ripped the back wheel and tire off the car and it slid like 100 yards. Like it
holy
just,
cow,
it
dude.
Hammered it. Dude,
so when somebody wrecks a car like that in the rental world, what happens?
Well, in that case, the dude who hit the car, his insurance paid us out. It took forever, but eventually they paid us out. But the guy who crashed our Audi TT, that dude, he was at fault. He literally drove it off a cliff. Like, I'm not even joking. If you haven't seen the YouTube video, it's on the Diesel Brothers YouTube channel. We had the Diesel Brothers come out and
pick it up. Was that like Matt's toe recovery?
No, dude. It's the dudes with the beards.
Okay.
You ever seen those guys? Yeah. Yeah. We called them up.
Unfortunately.
It was down in a ravine.
Oh.
And so it's like, we couldn't get it out. And so, but this dude drove it off the cliff. Like ditched it down there, left it there. His insurance ended up paying us out. And that was also a nightmare. So that's typically what happens, right? Like whoever's at fault pays for the car. So we've never had to file an insurance claim.
Yeah. So, right. Because typically everybody is insured.
Exactly.
Dude, that's wild, man.
It's
so
nuts.
What kind of like, do you try to, cause you're in the high end yeah. kind of rental.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't do like normal stuff. You do like the nice stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we do have a couple normal things because we like to cater to everybody, but we try to focus on like luxury and higher end cars.
So. And most people just do that for like one or two nights or what?
Yeah, it depends. We get people that are traveling into town that'll like rent them long, like, you know, for a week or whatever while they're on vacation, because back home they drive, you know, a Maserati. Yeah. And so they want to drive a Maserati here. It's just like, it just makes sense for them. Yeah. And then you get the people that are like, I just want to experience it. Or like, I'm trying to flex on Instagram, show off to somebody. And so it's like, we get a little bit of both.
Dude, yeah, that's dude. Wild. Dude.
It's interesting. And you can always tell who's who like pretty quick. Yeah. Like, you know, this guy's you a fake flexer, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. How can you tell who's like legit, who like knows luxury vehicles, who owns one? And like, I mean, because I feel the same way. Like when I used to work at Benz and stuff, we could tell who had money and who didn't.
Right.
Like that's why I always say there's two types of Benz customers.
Yeah.
The people who can afford it and the people who can't.
Right. And you never like, want to judge them, right? Like, right, like I never like really actually know. Like there could be some kid that rolls in and he could be a millionaire and he could look like a scrub, you know what I mean? But usually it's an age thing, right? Like if I get an older guy renting like a Yukon from me, for example, like I know that older guy probably, or like a Range Rover, like he probably just drives a Range Rover back home.
Yeah.
And then he sends me his insurance policy. And sure enough, he drives a Range Rover back home. You know what I mean? And then you get the kid that's like barely old enough to rent a car, or he's like a local rapper or a local artist or a local model. Like, you know, those guys are just, and like respect the hustle, right? Like they're trying to make it and like, they're trying to show off for somebody. And like, we help provide that experience for them. But like, we can usually tell pretty quick.
Well, you know, but for those guys who are younger, I mean, you got to be 25?
21.
21.
Our insurance will let you rent at 21.
Wow, dude, that's risky.
Yeah,
bro.
We've put a couple 21-year-olds behind the wheel of a like i8 Supra.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
fuck that, like dude. That. Yeah. I've driven an i8. That thing's hungry, bro.
Yeah, yeah, they're quick for what they are. Yeah. It's definitely not like a slow car.
No. But I remember too, like, because I agree with you. I've ridden in a lot of really fast cars, but that i8, I just felt like we were doing like way too fast on an undisclosed road going in undisclosed.
In Mexico, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like, it was in Mexico.
and I just, man, we were hitting a top speed and I just felt that thing. It just wanted to keep going. It was like.
And it's comfortable, right? Oh, the thing about the i8 is you could be doing 120 comfortably.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's the thing. That's what's dangerous about it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, wow, dude, this thing just wants to go more.
We have that same issue with the Supra. People will be getting pulled over all the time too. Like people get tickets in our cars like regularly.
Do you think they get tickets in the car because they're like, they're never gonna find me?
Well, dude, I don't know what it is, but they get pulled over and they get a ticket and it's written to them. Yeah. Sometimes they get left in the car. That's how we know. It'd be a piece of paper.
You'd be
car,
like, "Hey, dog, like, you left your ticket.
Hey, yo, you left your ticket. Come get it. I'm not paying."
Dude, that's hilarious, bro. Yeah. How'd you get into the high end rental business,
dude? I literally started from scratch. I had a Mini Cooper that was just an extra car. And it was just chilling. And I was like, I can either sell this car or maybe I'll try renting it out. And so I started, do you know about Turo, the rental car platform?
Yeah.
So that's how I started, right? Is I put this little Mini Cooper up on Turo. And I made like $500-$600 my first month. And I was like, okay, I paid $5,000 for the car. Like this isn't bad.
Oh, whoa, dude, that's crazy.
I was like, this could work, right? Mm-hmm. And so then I went and like, I like dabbled in it a little bit. I got another car. At the same time, I told like, at the time, it was my sister's boyfriend. He's now my brother-in-law and my business partner. I was like, hey, dude, like, check out this Turo thing. It's pretty sick. So he started dabbling in it a little bit, and we just got a couple of cars and got it rolling. And then starting it about 2 years ago from now, we just head dive right into it. We just decided, okay, let's go to a bunch of different banks. We'll go get pre-approved at all these different banks, and then we'll finance a deal at each one all in 1 month. So I went and bought five, six cars.
Yes, because they don't check. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Right? You got to do it on the same day, though.
Dude. Hits your credit report the next month, and it goes downhill for like a couple months. But.
No. But you'll be fine. But I'm saying,
it worked out fine.
But I'm saying, like, if they, because we had guys do this to it.
Yeah,
I worked finance at the dealership.
Oh, so then you know.
So I was just telling them. I was just telling them, like, what are you doing this for? They're like, Turo. I'm like, okay. You want to go buy a couple more? I'm like, dude, you probably want to do that quick because they're going to find out. They're going to catch on and then they're going to stop you.
Yeah. So like, no, that's what we did.
It's like credit card stacking.
Exactly.
Like, as soon as they find out, you're done.
Yeah.
They're going to catch
you. So that's what happens. But the only way that we knew about that is because my brother-in-law was a loan officer at the time.
So yeah.
He knew the ins and outs too. So we were able to work that system to our advantage, and it worked. And of course it's sketchy, right? You go take out $500,000 in car loans with like no money to your name. It's like, shit, I hope it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it did, obviously.
Yeah.
And so we started there and we were running separate things, me and him. And then eventually like the goal was always to combine and like build a brand. And that's what we've done now.
That's pretty cool, dude. Yeah. So you started Brandon Monturo.
Yeah.
Found out it was pretty lucrative.
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of in that day and age now where it's like everybody just like, you know, it's kind of that share economy.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Like, so like, yeah.
Ride Uber, sharing. Yeah, all of it.
Uber. Oh, I just saw this this new model, this new concept on when I was scrolling through my Facebook, that it was like somebody's creating a tech company for home gyms. It's kind of like Airbnb, but for home gyms.
Really?
You just like go rent, you know what I mean? Like you're in a town, you pull up this app and they're like, oh, there's a home gym right next to me. I don't want to go to the big Vasa cause it's packed or whatever.
So you pull up.
This guy outfitted his garage for a gym. So you like go book it. I was like, damn, dude.
That's wild.
We're getting like, this is getting wild.
Well, yeah, they've got other things. So they got like, you know about Neighbor. It's like a storage thing, right? It's like, dude, they've got all of these. And the thing is like, that's great because that just provides opportunities for people to make money in new ways. And like, if you're creative and you're smart, dude, you can make bank. I mean, we started like when we were doing the Turo thing, we realized like, dude, we can build an actual business out of this.
So that's
like,
cool.
That's like Turo really did it for us. And like shout out to them for that, but like, that and that only because they're hard to work with now.
No, dude, Turo is terrible to work with.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's they take a lot, money. They take a lot
it's
of money.
A lot. They take a lot of money. The problem is they tax so many fees onto the customer's end. It's like if I'm renting a car for $200 a day, the customer's paying $400 and I'm getting $180.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's so like Airbnb now.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing.
I know. And people are like, you know, and I guess there might be some deals with Airbnb, but I've never found a spot where like a hotel is more expensive than an Airbnb. Usually like, I don't know, maybe it's because I go bougie places like Anaheim or something like that. Where like, but like, I don't know. We rent the hotel and it's always cheaper than an Airbnb.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to Vegas this weekend. Yeah. Same thing. Checked Airbnbs, checked hotels. It's like, taking the hotel.
Yeah, just take the hotel because you're right there with everything, right?
I mean, Airbnb makes sense if you're renting out a whole house and you've got like a bunch of friends or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like all pooling it together or whatever.
But like,
dude, just like a single room or whatever.
Yeah, but I heard you can't even do that anymore.
Really?
I heard, so like we were on Airbnb. We were renting one up in Park City and we were there for a funeral. Like, so we were going to just, I mean, it was like three or four families and we were going to pull our money. And they blocked us for a second because they thought it was like a party. They saw everybody's names on there. But then we like, so we had to call them. And there's some exceptions to the rule. Like, hey, this is a funeral. Like, we're all coming in. This is a big house. Like, we're all coming in.
So is that the issue then? They don't want people like partying?
Like, they use them.
Which makes sense.
So, and sometimes like they'll do parties or they'll do like illegal activities. Like they'll rent an Airbnb for like a shroom journey.
Like turn it into a trap house.
For like an MDMA journey or something. And they're like, well, I get that. That's probably not what you should do.
Well, dude, it's the same thing with rental cars, right? Like we try not to be like too strict about it because as long as it comes back in one piece and it's not damaged or whatever, like, and we take a deposit. But like, dude, we find stuff in cars all the time, bro.
You're like, geez, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you found in a car?
Dude, we had a truck get stolen. There's a YouTube video about it on our YouTube channel. Very small YouTube channel, but it does exist. Yeah. Check it out, Exotic Rentals.
There you go.
Right anyway, dude, this guy stole our truck. It was like a homeless dude. And the situation was weird. Like, renter drops the truck off, doesn't lock up the keys properly because we were gone. It was like after hours. Doesn't lock up the keys properly. Guy steals truck, but we have trackers in them. So, like, we knew that the truck was driving around. So we chased the guy down and like he ended up getting arrested. Like we called the cops. They followed us around. We followed the guy around. We pinned him and they hauled him away. But dude, in that there was like weed, meth, shrooms, freaking, I want to say cocaine. They found a fleshlight in there, dude. I'm not even joking. Like it was wild. It was disgusting too. The thing
is, you took that homeless guy's party, bro.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. Like that was the joke. It's like, man, at least they were having a good time.
What is that? What is that? Have you seen the other guys when the homeless guys steal the Prius and he's like, Dirty Mike and the boys?
No.
He's like, we will have another orgy in your car.
Oh, dude. No way. Yeah, dude, it was crazy. But then we got the truck back and it was disgusting, dude. Like, homeless dude had been in it for a day or whatever.
So what happens in that case?
So we just got the truck back and we just had to clean it all up. We kept all the shit though. Yeah. Not the flashlight. We didn't keep the flashlight.
That was not what I was.
Or the drugs. We didn't keep the drugs. They took. So the cops took all of that. But bro, there was a longboard in there.
Oh, okay. That's
the bolt cutters that he used to cut open our lockbox. Like we keep those. That's our trophy, dude. Like, you know.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
dude. That's killer, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
So a lot of cool, lot of cool stories.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, and then you added an auto body repair shop.
Yeah, just not auto body, but we do like mechanics.
Okay,
like auto mechanic repair.
Okay, I was gonna say mechanic repair sounds better than an auto body.
Yeah,
because auto body sounds like you're laundering money, dude.
Yeah, it's
like where's the chop shop, right? Like, like I know how you're getting all of your luxury cars.
I know, okay? Right? Got to do it somehow.
None of them have VIN numbers.
I'm right. No, dude, the auto shop was before.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so my dad and I started that more or less like just as an idea. It was a goal of ours for a long time to like do our own thing. My dad has experience managing tire shops. He was like with Les Schwab for 20 something years. And I always wanted my own shop because I mean, I've been a car guy forever. So he and I kind of put our heads together and we bought a pre-existing spot that was really small, kind of like mom and pop, and rebranded it. Teamed up with a co-op called Point S. I don't know if you've seen like the Point S tires. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're the Point S tire down in Spanish Fork. And
So is it like a franchise?
Yeah. So it's a co-op, which is a little different than franchise.
Okay.
It's structured very similarly, but there's like no franchise fees. We can like make our own rules. Basically, the idea of a co-op is a bunch of individual owners come together to be able to like to have buying power, right?
Yeah.
So they're all branded the same. We're all branded as Point S tire so that we can buy tires at a discounted, you know, bulk rate.
That's cool.
And so, yeah. So it's super sick because we don't have to worry about like any of the franchise rules or fees.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we get the benefit
of
being
like
a large name.
Yeah. The Point S brand.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's pretty sick. So we started that a year before the rental car thing and, you know, one wasn't enough. So it was like, man, I got to be doing more than one thing at a time. Yeah. So that's how the rental thing.
So you got your Point S, and then your rental
and
thing.
And then the
Zotic. What else are you guys gonna do? You guys got big plans or
we
what?
We do. Yeah, we're working on some stuff right now. Zotic Detailing is unofficially launched. It's live on Instagram. That's about it.
Kind of trying to do detailing is a tough gig, man.
It is. Everybody's doing it. That's the thing. And so we're not trying to like reinvent the wheel with it or anything like that. The reality of it is we've been detailing for the last 2 years because rental cars, we're automatically bringing them in, we're detailing them, and it's like we might as well just capitalize on it and instead of just doing our own, offer it as an extra thing that Zotic does. So the cool thing will be like if you need to get your car detailed, then we've got a rental car for you.
Cool.
We can swap you out for something for the day and we can give it to you at a discounted rate so that you're driving something nice or something comparable to what you have. But you're paying less than you would pay to just rent it regularly, and you're getting your
Dude, I know. I actually was the operator for somebody. Was one of my friends was gonna open one of these detail shops.
Yeah,
and I was gonna come in and run it for him. As like he was like absentee, I was gonna be the operator. And dude, but it was so hard, man.
It's difficult.
Like it's not. Yeah, I mean it's not for somebody who like. I don't know, dude. It's just, I see a lot of these guys go out there, like, I'm going to go detail cars. And it's like
2 weeks later, they're done. Right?
Yeah, dude, it's tough.
Well, here's what's hard. And here's what I see a lot of the time is you get these people that they want to start it. There's some businesses in this world. There's businesses that are easy to start and there's businesses that are hard to start. Detailing, wrapping cars, renting cars.
Yeah.
Those are all easy businesses to start.
Yeah.
They're hard businesses to keep open though.
Yeah. Right?
That's the biggest thing is like these detail guys, it's not hard to go spend $10,000 on detailing equipment and get yourself like a little setup and start detailing cars. But what's hard is like getting clients, marketing, sales. Like those are skills that you have to have in order to like actually make something go.
Well, and not only that, but like you're in such a saturated industry, dude.
Oh, totally.
So like, because there's also, it's funny that you mentioned that because there's two ways to scale money in a business. So you got economies of scale, which is up.
Right.
So you're like, the more cars you detail, the more the costs go down. And so now we're scaling. Right. And then there's like scope, which is, I have a rental company, so it makes sense to have a mechanic shop. So it makes sense to have a detail shop. So it makes sense to now become a State Farm franchise insurance guy.
Right.
We own the insurance. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, scope is out, scale is up. And so when you have the scope, like it becomes a lot easier. So I think a detail company, when you already own a rental company, like that's a no brainer.
Exactly. Well, here's the reality. I can make $0 for the next 2 years detailing and it would be okay because I've made $0 for the last 2 years detailing.
Yeah.
And you know, we're doing fine. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
well, but that's the power, right? Is like, hey, we'll detail your car for X. We'll give you a rental for X.
Right.
And we're the same price as the other guy. And now you're like, boom, that's
we're
it.
A one-stop shop
right? Boom, that's
exactly.
It. Which is a lot different than these guys who go get a van, spend the money and
right.
go detail.
Which no disrespect tough. To them because you can do that.
No. I know a lot of homies who do that.
Exactly.
But I always tell them, I'm like, that's a tough.
It's tough.
That's a large order,
it's definitely
bro.
Tough.
That's a tall order.
Yeah.
So, dude, that's just cool that you've got a lot of that going, especially like the detailing, especially some of these other things because, you know, and how old are you, dude?
I just turned 25.
Oh, good for you, bro. Yeah. So 25. I made that 25 joke. My bad, dog.
What joke did you make?
Oh, the 25. Oh, so typically you have to rent cars at 25.
Well, yeah, bro. That's what that was the joke for the longest time. I was like, bro, I'm not even old enough to rent my own stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
right, dude. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Because I remember we went to Florida and I was like 24 with my wife.
Yeah.
And they were like, we had to pay all this extra money because we weren't 25. And I was like, dude, stop it.
Stupid.
I was like, that's so dumb. I was like, I've never had anything on my record and I still have to pay. They're like, yep. I'm like, all
right. They don't care, dude.
Yeah, like, we don't care.
Make money where they can, I guess.
I guess, dude. That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
So what's the coolest car you have right now?
Probably the i8, honestly. Which
the
i8's
really
like, it's cool. And we've got a nice wrap on it. We did the wrap ourselves. That's another thing we're working on is we'll,
do
along
like
with the detailing,
like
we'll probably offer wraps as well.
Do like wraps and like, what do they call that? Clear bra and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like
dude,
like paint protection. Yeah.
That's a pretty sweet gig to be in.
Yeah, exactly. And same thing, a lot of people doing it, but we wrapped the i8 ourselves. We've been wrapping all sorts of shit for as long as we've been in business.
Yeah.
If we make no money doing it, it doesn't matter. But if we have it to offer to our customer base, then.
Well, I think that rental is just a good base because
right.
like a lot of people go like,
right.
I remember working in the car industry and people go do the paint protection, clear bra, the clear shield, whatever they call it now. We do those, we do tint, we do all this stuff and they'd have to leave their car. So they would trade in a car, buy a new one, get clear bra, tint, a wrap or whatever. And then like we would have to provide them a rental and it was like a huge deal to like, cause we don't have, I mean, everybody thinks car dealership, you have cars to give away. And it's like, no,
yeah,
you
can't
give the new cars away to rent. Yeah. Right.
This has 3 miles on it. It's going to have 3 miles on it until we sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's just super great as a business. You can start to scope it out.
Right.
And go like, yep, we can wrap. And by the way, you're going to leave your car with us for 3 days. Your rental's included in the price.
Exactly. Right. We just wrap it all in.
To me, that would be a no-brainer.
Yeah, it just makes sense, right? Yeah. And it's not like I said, I don't expect to like make millions of dollars wrapping cars or detailing cars. It's just a way to, it's just like another
stream
of revenue.
Yeah,
for
it's
us,
just,
right?
It's economies of scope.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like,
exactly
we're already
right.
doing this. So even if we make, you know, $250K a year doing it, which isn't unreasonable, then it's fine because it doesn't cost us any money to like keep going.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good
that's
move, man.
And like best case scenario, it offsets some of our operating costs, right? Like maybe it helps pay for the employees that I'm already paying or the building that I'm already in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For, that's great like, for me. That's a win.
Yeah, their job is to wrap. So they only wrap us a couple times a month. So you might as well stack your schedule and get it done.
Exactly.
Where did you get the idea? Like, how did you learn about operating costs and stuff like that?
Dude, just by doing it. Like,
yeah.
My business partner and I, we have one thing that I think is in common with us is that when we decide we're doing something, we just go for it. Like, regardless of whether or not we know what we're doing, you know? And that was the case with the rent. I had no idea. I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I started renting cars.
Yeah.
I also didn't expect it to like kind of pop off the way that it did. So like, we're not where we want to be yet, but we're a lot farther along than I thought we would be.
Yeah.
So we've just trial and error, the whole thing, dude. Lots of error.
Right, dude.
You know,
what do you think the biggest mistake you made is?
Dude, that's tough. We've, you know, I don't know if there's necessarily been like one big thing that we've
like,
done wrong,
shit.
But there's like a lot of like little things, you know, like when you start heading down a path, like maybe I can use the example of like, there was a time in our company where after we had financed all of those cars and our personal credit was tapped out, mm-hmm. we thought, okay, the next move now to get more cars is like, let's get our friends and family involved. Mm-hmm. Let's have them go buy cars. We'll split the money with them. We'll rent them out. You know, we'll tell them that, you know, they can make some, make some money. It was a mistake. It was a mistake for a few reasons, not because that's a bad model, but one, because we were including friends and family. That's hard to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very hard to do.
That is tough.
It gets dicey every single time. And so that was an issue, number one. Number two, we didn't buy good cars. They didn't buy good cars. So the revenue wasn't there. And there was months where they weren't making their car payments and they were under the impression that they were going to make their car payments. And so it's like, we're having a slow month. Your car's only rented a couple of times. It's not, there's not enough there.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was really hard. So that happened and it actually nearly put us out of business. Like, we were getting to the point where we were trying to keep all these people happy. We had 36 cars in our fleet at the time. And I want to say 20 of them were not owned by me or my business partner. They were owned by other people. And so there was 20 people or 15 people that we were trying to keep happy all the time. And so we were like,
that's crazy.
We were like losing money to like try to keep, make sure these people were making their car payments and staying happy.
Yeah.
And one day we were just like, yo, this is not working. We'll help you sell the cars, but like, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Cause we can't.
So I would say that was probably one of the bigger mistakes that we made, but it was a huge learning lesson because we learned that that's not necessarily a bad model. The cars have to be right though. You've got to buy higher end cars. And the ideal situation is to work with people who don't necessarily need the money, right? They're buying the car as a tax write-off, or they're buying, you know what I mean? They're buying the car because like they want to use it 1 week out of the month or something like that.
Yeah. Like, it's not like a big deal for you.
Yeah, exactly. And if they've got to make the payment or whatever, and this like helps offset some of the cost, then that's cool. Because dude, it's hard to like split that between, like if it's rented on Turo, like between Turo, between us and then them, you know what I mean? It's like,
you're like, fuck.
It's like, bro, it's like, shit, there's not enough like, money there, bro.
Dude, I'm about to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So that was probably like the biggest thing. Like that was probably one of the hardest things that we went through, but you know, we learned from it.
No, that's a great lesson. And I know it's always weird, right? Like, why is this interview guy asking me what the biggest mistake is? But a lot of people get into business and they go in with rose tinted glasses
100%.
And they really think like, dude, I made a mistake. But then the other funny thing is like, I love asking that question because you made the mistake. Then you had a huge learning lesson and it didn't kill you.
Exactly.
It almost did. Right.
Yeah, but it didn't though.
But almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
That's right.
Right. Like, like close only counts.
Right.
So, but that's really cool, man. And now you've learned, a big lesson. So when you go do this again and you got to be in the same situation, you can be like, we'll tell you the car to buy.
Yep.
And if you don't buy that car, it's not my problem.
Exactly. And if you buy the car, there's no guarantee. I think the problem was, is like, we were making so much money at the time that we did, we went into
guaranteed.
It. It's like, that's, we went into it like, yo, we're making bank. Like, we're doing good right now. Like, you guys will too.
Yeah.
And then shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh man. Like, we told all these people they were going to be making money and now they're not.
And
like, last thing I want to do, like, huge thing for me and my business partner is like being honest and having integrity in our business. I think that's probably one of the other things that has saved us is treating people right. And so I was like, dude, last thing I want to do is like screw any of these people, not only because they're friends and family, but just because like, I want to do it right. Like, I want to make sure I like do these, like I take care of these people right.
Yeah.
And it hurt us in the short term, but worked out in the long term.
Yeah. So you ended up selling all the cars. Did you buy any of them yourself?
Yeah. I probably bought three or four of them. I bought like three or four of them and then we helped them sell the rest. Mm-hmm. And pretty much everybody was made whole with the exception of like a few $1,000 here or there, but it was like, it was not bad enough that it was any sort of a deal.
Yeah. And everybody learned probably from that one.
Exactly. Right. It's like, and that's the thing. We did the one thing that we did right when we pitched it to these people is we told them like, hey, look, it is an investment and anything could happen. Like, there are no guarantees, but I'm telling you, we're making a ton of money right now. Like, that was kind of the pitch, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like, no guarantees, but
like, we're killing
wink,
it.
Wink, right?
Yeah. Like here's the financials, right?
Yeah. Dude, that's cool. Have you ever thought about I talked to this guy who does like the luxury limo stuff
where they
buy the big Cadillac Escalades and just like triple black and like pimp them out, dude. And they go to and from Park City. I met a guy like that at a dinner at Roost Chris, not a weird flex. We were just there for a Divi thing.
That
so
was
shout
a
out
weird
to Divi.
Flex, bro.
I was like, I go to Roost Chris every night. Right? No, but we met this guy, Roost Chris. And he was like, I was like, what do you do? And he goes, we own like a luxury rental or a luxury like limo company.
Like chauffeur service.
So like pick me up at the airport, make sure my, you know, they got the wine chillers in the back. They're like, so it's not like a, not like an Uber. Cause they're like, when they're there, when they're in the car, it's like, make sure they have like requests. Like I need this bottle in the car. I need this, this, and this, like make sure you have Wi-Fi. Like I need to go on the plane to the truck.
It's like for like when Lil Wayne pulls up to town, right? It's
right,
like,
exactly.
That's where Lil Wayne's going.
And so I'm like, dude, stop it. You don't make that much money. Nobody that important's flying into Salt Lake City. He's like, bro, we can't, like, we are 100% occupied every day.
Dude, I believe it.
I was like, good night, bro.
Yeah.
Do you have any of those SUVs in your fleet?
Yeah, to answer your question, the answer is yes. So we just teamed up with a driver. He's just a driver. He started a company just to be a chauffeur driver. Uh-huh. Like that's his business. But he doesn't have any cars yet. I told him, I said, dude, don't buy any cars. Yeah. I was like, I've got this blacked out Yukon. We've got a blacked out Maserati that's like the 4-door Maserati. Uh-huh. It's like big pimping, you know, get chauffeured around in.
Yeah.
We've got a limo. I was like, you can rock with these. Like you can take whatever car, the Range Rover.
Yeah.
Like that'll give your clientele options. They can choose whatever car they want and we'll just split it.
Yeah, we'll just
So we're working on that because that's a huge market.
That's actually a big market.
All-Star Weekend. It took us until like All-Star Weekend to realize like, oh,
they're like, we don't want to rent. I want somebody to drive me.
Right. And we did have people that rented. We were fully booked out that weekend and then some. But the chauffeur thing was like,
the chauffeur thing is crazy. So when my wife and I will go to like events and like, if it's downtown, we always Uber down there.
Of course.
But I've never thought of like, hey, let's get like a nice car and like,
well, dude, it's expensive, bro. Have you seen how much it costs?
No, like, I can only imagine.
To rip up there to Park City in one of those black, like Yukons or whatever, it's like $250 just up there.
Yeah.
It was at a 45-minute drive.
Yeah, dude.
Not even from the airport.
From the airport, it's probably 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah. The dude makes $250.
I feel like that's on the cheap end, dude.
I don't think so because think about how many times a day they do that. You could just
go back up. That's what they do.
That's their whole thing, dude. Like those guys, that's their whole route. They just go back and forth. They do it 8 times a day. Yeah. You know what I mean? 10 times a day. Bro, that's one guy. They're like individually, the way that it's set up from my understanding, those dudes are like individually contracted. Yeah. So the company owns the cars. And then contracts, so that dude makes like, I don't know, a couple thousand bucks a day just driving up and back.
That would be an amazing little model, especially if you live. I actually met somebody who they're trying to franchise a model like this.
Yeah.
They should do it.
They should do it before I do it.
So they're trying to franchise the model of like in every major airport.
Yeah.
Somebody owns a franchise, like a chauffeur franchise.
Yeah. Well, dude, it just makes sense because it doesn't matter what airport. You could be in Montana, dude. People fly in and out, you know?
Like, yeah.
There's high rollers everywhere.
Yeah. And they need a nice car.
Exactly.
To pick them up.
Yeah, dude. And these guys, too, they do those runs to and from Park City, but then they're like, you know, they'll take you to Ogden. I saw one. They'll take you to St. George. I don't even know how much it is, but like if you want to fly into Salt Lake and get driven like that down to St. George, pay them enough money, they'll do it. So it's like,
that'd be a lot of money for me to do that. I ain't going to St. George.
Yeah, dude, I don't like that drive either.
I don't like that drive.
My wife's from down there, so we drive down there all the time. Dude, I hate it.
I know.
I'm going down there this weekend. Going down there and then to Vegas.
Yeah, I think St. George is fine, but I just don't like that drive.
Yeah,
dude.
It's boring.
A pain in the ass, dude.
Boring drive, dude. I'm about to fall asleep.
Well, we do the drive from, so when we go to like Anaheim, we'll go to Disneyland or we'll go to San Diego or something as a family. So we'll stop in Vegas and that drive is fine. Like here to Vegas is okay.
Yeah. It's like 6 hours, right?
Yeah. And it's okay. But that 4-hour drive from Vegas to Anaheim, dude, blows.
I know, dude.
That sucks.
Yeah, dude. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'll fly.
We did it in the summertime too. And I thought we were going to die a couple times, bro. I was like, if we run out of gas right now, we're dead.
You're done, dude.
we're miles away from water. We're in a first world country and I'm going to die on the side of the road.
Yeah. It could happen, bro. I'm sure it's happened.
It has happened. Yeah, dude,
sure
absolutely, dude.
That drive's brutal for real.
Well,
I'd rather fly it any day.
Yeah, I know. We fly into Orange County.
We'll do that.
But dude, you're killing it, man.
Yeah,
that's impressive, dude.
It's fun.
And so you just keep finding ways to like take your rental business and just branch out into other stuff, huh?
Yeah. And we almost have to, dude, because it's starting to become sort of a fad now.
Like rentals?
Yeah, like renting cars on Turo, everybody's doing it now. You know what I mean? Like it's easy to do. Like everybody has a car or an extra car. And so it's like dude, we're just trying to stay ahead. You know what I mean? Like, we got in at a good time when it wasn't a fad. It was like starting to come on and like Turo was starting to get popular.
Well, yeah. And you're just different than Turo.
Yeah, exactly. We've kind of branched away.
Yeah.
Like, because our own thing.
Yeah. Most people I see do the Turo thing. Like, I have a friend of mine who does the Turo thing, but he lives here and he shipped his car to Phoenix.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like to Turo, because I was like, but even then I was like, bro, that's sketchy.
Yeah.
you're like, you know, however long, a like couple hour flight away from that.
Right. And like,
if something it's goes
probably
wrong,
some guy managing it. So there's companies that'll do that, right? Like their whole business model is just that, like they get cars from other people and they'll just manage them as like on Turo. And that model, in my opinion, is not going to last. And the reason is because with the market being as competitive as it is for rentals, the prices just keep going down and down. It's a race to the bottom. Who can have the cheapest Yukon? Who can have the cheapest Tesla? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so just like in my case, like where there was not enough meat on the bone to split, eventually that's going to be the case for these management companies that are managing people's cars.
Dude, what do you think of Teslas?
Dude, honestly, not a big Tesla guy. I like electric cars. Yeah, I like electric cars. I don't like Teslas all that much. Yeah, well, yeah. See, that I8's sick. I8's a hybrid, so it's got, you know, put a little gas in it. Put a little gas in it.
But can't you do all hybrid?
You can rock it for like full electric.
Yeah, full electric hybrid.
Yeah, but like the Teslas, dude, like they've never really done it for me as far as like driving experience.
Do you have any to rent? Do they rent good?
We just picked one up. It's not even in our fleet yet. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be in our fleet.
Yeah.
So it's just a Model 3, but it's sick. It's blacked out. It's gonna be super dope. But dude, that is a very saturated market. Everybody buys a Tesla so they can own a Tesla and rent it on Turo for $50 a day. You know what I mean? Just so that they can make their payment and own a Tesla. Like, that's the mentality.
That's
like, dude, I can't compete with that. You know what I mean? Well, I got overhead. I got employees. I got a building.
I would hate to. That sounds dumb. Yeah. I would not buy a Tesla to rent it out.
Well, it's because you're a business guy. Like, most of these people aren't business people. We're talking soccer moms and stay at home dads.
But even 50. So let's go Model 3. Let's say you deck it out at all.
Right.
And you can maybe get the long range stuff. Cause I've looked at just buying one in general. So you're probably for a Model 3, you're probably 50 or 60K.
Right.
your payment on that's over 1,000.
Yeah.
Easy.
Unless you finance it for 8 years. You know what I mean?
Like, even if you finance it.
Which you can. But yeah.
Even if you finance for 8 years. True, yourself, right? Dude, could you imagine that for real quick?
Yeah, no, you.
We had people in the car world buy these $60,000, $70,000 cars, put $20,000 down and finance it for 7 years, 84 months.
Yeah.
Their payment was still $600 a month.
Well, yeah, the interest catches up.
Could you imagine that? Putting $20,000 down and going out for that long and your payment's still almost a G?
Yeah,
that's terrible. So stupid.
It's terrible.
That gives me anxiety thinking about it.
Yeah, see, it doesn't make sense.
Especially for like Teslas, that's ridiculous. Dude.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't.
And like I would never rent a Tesla for, I don't know. Yeah. I just don't, I'm not that impressed with them. I have no need for one.
Well,
I don't really care.
The other thing is, you see how much a used Tesla is going for. You can buy a used Tesla for $25,000, $30,000.
Yeah,
dude, they depreciate so freaking fast.
Really fast. So. And you know what's crazy about that too is what a lot of people don't get, and what I love talking to people about is the, you know, you buy a Tesla and the whole idea is the environment or whatever. But an electric vehicle with a lithium ion battery is worse for the environment than a traditional.
Dude, people can make that argument all they want, right? Like, it's good for the environment. Yeah. Like,
just say that you want it, Doc, because like that's all you need. Yeah. That's all I need to hear.
Exactly. Like make the argument all day, but like we all know it's not true. We all know that like it's been proven time and time again that is not the case. You're not protecting the environment by driving a Tesla.
Because
when
those Priuses die and that lithium ion battery, you can't recycle that.
Yeah,
like a combustion engine, you can take it apart, you can recycle it,
rebuild it. You can melt it down.
Yeah, you can do everything. Lots of things to it. That lithium ion battery, dude, they shoot that bitch into space.
That's all they can do.
They drop that into the ocean, dude, and hope that pressure. But I'm not joking though. Like,
yeah, no, that's the reality.
There's no way to get rid of it.
And here's the thing about it. Like, okay, fine. Right. Like, that's fine, but don't make the argument, right? Like, dude, I'm saving the environment. No, you're not.
That's why Volkswagen's my hero, dude. Who else has the balls to pull a fast one on the EPA like that, dog?
I know,
their chips in that TDI, bro.
Yeah,
I think I got like 50 miles, 60 miles to the gallon. that shot out real bad emissions.
No kidding.
Go V-Dub.
I know, right?
And it's absolutely.
Like, it's like, yeah, I'm sure people will get pissed and be like, oh, the environment, the emissions. No matter what, if you're traveling, there's emissions. That's just about if you want to save the world, stay where you're at. Don't stay at your house.
Yeah, don't like, move. Don't move.
Yeah.
I think, I think that's funny, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of, but I just remember a lot of people doing that. Like, and what's funny about hybrid cars is they get worse gas mileage on the freeway. A lot of people don't know that. But like the way a hybrid works is when, and I'm sure you know this, but like you step on the brake and it recharges the battery.
Right, right.
So when you go on the highway, it doesn't work like that. And that's fun. And that, and people were always surprised when I was selling cars. They're like, oh, I want this hybrid because I travel on the freeway a lot. I'm like, just get a Civic.
Yeah.
Just get a gas Civic. You'll actually save more money.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as soon as you're on the highway, it's more or less
You're actually worse than a gas one.
Yeah. I believe that.
Again, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Because not only do you have your engine, but you have the battery now that just adds more weight to the car. And like,
exactly.
That's one of the biggest ratios for, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there are like, don't get me wrong, dude. There's cars out there like that are cool. There's
electric cars are dope.
Like those Hummers. Have you seen the new Hummers?
No.
Dude, they're badass.
No, they're cool. Like
you gotta look them up.
The one cool thing I love about electric, I don't want to shit on it. I just don't like the whole environment argument.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Tesla is like, you're an electric car. You have torque from zero. Your torque from zero.
They're fast.
So that'll throw you back in your seat, dude.
Yeah. No. So there is that. Yeah. There is that. But like, dude, these new Hummers, bro. You've got to look them up. They're expensive as shit right now. It's like one of those things where it's like 500 times MSRP because they haven't made very many of them yet.
Yeah,
but they're electric, fully electric, like 1,000 horsepower, something crazy like that. And it looks like it's a Hummer.
And they go
like crab walk. It does like all sorts of crazy shit, dude. They're nuts. Dude, they got all sorts of technology in them. Yeah, dude, so that's cool. You know what I mean? It's not cool for like $200,000, but it's cool for like maybe $80,000 if they wanted to sell them for that.
That's crazy.
But
bro.
Yeah, so like, don't get me wrong. There are sick electric cars. I just like the Teslas have never really done
I've never been a fan either. Yeah. Cause like those new Cadillac Escalades are dope.
Yeah.
Bro,
yeah.
That's if I was going to spend $120,000, $150,000 on a
car. You talking about like the Escalade V?
Those
are sick.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah,
That's when I was like, damn, dude.
Yeah, those are crazy. And they got it's like a ton of power. It's like, I can't remember
how much
power.
That's an unreal car, bro.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I would rather buy that.
Yeah. Oh, I would too.
That's a status symbol to me. You see someone roll up a triple black Escalade?
Bro, I drove my Yukon today. I got a black on black Yukon.
Yeah.
And it literally has, it's in the rental fleet.
Yeah.
It has an exhaust and an intake on it.
Yeah.
It sounds badass, bro. I love driving that thing because I just feel like I'm like,
I would say, you know, you see the tech nerd driving up in his little Tesla bubble thing. I would be like, that versus a triple black Escalade or a triple black Yukon. I'd be like, that guy.
Yeah.
Let's go.
100%.
That guy's mean, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Bro.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it was a pleasure speaking with you, man. This has been a really fun interview, dude. Sure, I appreciate it. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can rent cars, all that good stuff.
You can find us pretty much anywhere at Zotic Rentals. That's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook at Zotic Rentals. Or you can check out our website, zoticrentals.com. Got the best deals in Salt Lake. You won't find a better rental car company. I'm telling you that right now.
Dude, I love it. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.